Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is David Gibbons, President at UPMC Hammett. David, thanks so much for joining us today and being in the Business Spotlight. Let's jump right into it. For those of us that rely on mainstream media for our news, the picture for a lot of hospitals in many markets across the country is dire. At UPMC Hammett, what you have experienced from COVID-19 has been far different. Can you walk us through from March 15th to today and share the reality of what has happened and what is happening at UPMC Hammett and the hospital's ability to manage COVID patients?
Really, throughout the pandemic, there have been two constants at UPMC Hammett. One is our staff. They are absolutely extraordinary. There are true heroes, and the compassion that they provide and the care is delivered to the patients is really second to none. And the other commonality in this story has been one of communication, which is really critical. In a time for the nation and the world has been uncharted territory. So we've kept and stayed very close to them. We round on a daily basis. We share information, through that rounding one-on-one. We host numerous virtual town halls. Almost every day there's a virtual town hall with excellent participation. We began this journey opening a testing facility at West 3rd Street, which is our Hammett Collection Center, and that has gone very, very well. We immediately initiated our emergency operations center to manage the activities at UPMC Hammett, and certainly in collaboration with UPMC as well. And it's been about planning. The other takeaway from this story is that we use the most recent scientific knowledge. So our planning, our actions, and our care have been very fluid as we learn information and outcomes and best practices from science. We apply those to the operations and clinical care that we deliver. And then finally, I will share with you, we've been very engaged with our corporate supply chain. With supplies, we are very fortunate to have an adequate supply of what we refer to as personal protective equipment, PPE. So we've had the masks, the gloves, the gowns, an adequate supply. And then just one more, comment. The Hammett Health Foundation, we could not, have endured this without them. And they've been absolutely wonderful in providing treats to our staff, almost on a daily basis. And really being advocates in the community, coordinating meals for our staff, the list goes on. So that's what we have been doing since March 15th at UPMC Hammett.
There's almost a quiet confidence about UPMC Hammett and the handling of this pandemic. Can you comment on that?
Sure. You know, it has been the largest scaled, you know, challenge that we've ever faced. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I would go back to the communication. It is really very important, whether it's in healthcare or any other business, whenever there's change, one of the challenges is communication. So we've leveraged the virtual reality because we no longer congregate, and we really have rounding frequently with one-on-one communication and really giving staff the opportunity to ask questions. But I will share with you, well, yes, it has been easy for us on the planning side and the implementation side. Our staff and physicians are absolutely remarkable. I don't want to leave anyone with the impression that it has been easy and business as usual. Business as usual does occur, but we've also recognized this is a sacrifice for our staff. Many are working, they're all working to support us, but I don't want to leave with the impression that it's been easy and we've made a lot of sacrifices. Our staff has made a lot of sacrifices, and hence we use the term they are our true heroes.
David, has COVID-19 been the most difficult challenge the hospital has faced in your tenure as president?
It's been the largest, without a doubt, absolutely. Amassing multiple fronts from a collection center to ensuring that we have the appropriate supplies, the drugs, the PPE, keeping first and foremost our staff safe, establishing screening protocols, visitor protocols. It has been on a large scale a challenge, but again, we've had these plans in place for years. We rehearse different scenarios routinely, and this is one that we put into action, and I'm very proud of the team. But again, it also, to the frontline staff member, this isn't easy. This is a change, and they are handling it gracefully. And as you said earlier, they're extremely confident, but we recognize their hard work and sacrifices.
Can you comment on how your healthcare team continues to manage the pandemic and their commitment to providing incredible healthcare in the face of the pandemic?
Sure. Well, planning is at the core of this. So as I stated earlier, we plan for decades. We plan for disasters, different scenarios, whether it's weather related or, you know, we have loss of part of our building, et cetera. And we do plan and have planned for pandemics. And so we've used those plans, and we've certainly modified those plans in real time as we gain the knowledge through science. Also, the one key to our success has been our diligence and commitment to safety. Our staff, our frontline staff, they wear masks, they practice appropriate hand hygiene, they practice physical distancing, isolation. If they feel sick or a family member, they are isolating, and I'm very proud of them for that. I can share with your readers, your viewers, and listeners, as we round through the hospital, every staff member is masked appropriately and adhering to the, as we say, the COVID guidelines. So I am very proud. We have a really dedicated team that is very special in my heart, and I know the hearts of the community as well.
Can you share the number one thing that you've learned about your hospital and your team due to the global pandemic in 2020?
Sure. Excellent question. And I would say first and foremost, I knew that our team was very dedicated and committed, but this really has highlighted that it has been their dedication and their teamwork was second to none. They shine every day, and they are bringing solutions forward to the physicians and to leaders, and they are most times developing the solutions to challenges that. So they are heroes, and the takeaway is their dedication and commitment.
We've had the pleasure to speak with Emily Shears, Director of Infection Prevention and Quality Improvement at UPMC Hammett, a few times during the pandemic, and we know that many have put off medical procedures during the pandemic due to fear of catching COVID. This is not a recommended practice, is it? And are all aspects of the hospital separate and apart from COVID functioning as normal?
We've learned at the beginning of this in March and April and into May about postponing care, deferring care, and the topic that centered the media around elective procedures or care. And what we learned from that is it does not work. And the reason it does not work is as community members defer care, clinically that is a very, very dangerous pathway, because what occurs is that people put off diagnostic testing, and then that leads to a clinical outcome that is certainly adverse to their health, and we need to protect them from that. The takeaway here is that we have implemented rigorous safety measures at the hospital, in our physician offices, our surgery center, throughout the UPMC footprint, from rigorous cleaning, how we protect the patient with masking and screenings, and the list goes on and on. And those safety measures are really protecting the staff. We say there's no safer place than the hospital. Every person who enters the hospital is screened. They are required to wear a mask. Patients who have COVID are separated. We have negative airflow units for all of our COVID inpatient care. So really, the care here is very, very safe, and we really want to emphasize, do not defer your care. We are here for you. Schedule your appointments, and we will provide care for you in a safe and efficient manner. The second part of your question is really everything functioning. Yes, all of our departments are open. We are accepting patients in all areas, both outpatient and inpatient. So we want the staff, again, we want the community to know that receiving your healthcare is very safe, and that deferring care many times is not in the patient's best interest.
David, we've all heard about great progress when it comes to vaccines recently. Can you describe what a vaccine distribution might look like in Erie?
Sure. So hospitals across the nation right now are preparing for the receipt of vaccines, and we should learn later today what our allotment will look like for the vaccine. And I think to that question, it's important to share with the audience that in September, we actually administered our influenza vaccines earlier this year than prior years. So we implemented a program called Operation One Shot. And in 1 week's time, we had administered over 2,300 vaccines to our staff. So in preparation for a COVID vaccine, so that we could very quickly, safely, and proficiently roll out a very vaccine program. So we have the plan in place. We are fine-tuning it as the nuances of this COVID vaccine arrive, and we are well prepared for it. This vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, requires a to be kept at temperatures that are minus 70 degrees Celsius. We have the appropriate freezers for the safe storage of the vaccine, and we are prepared and ready to distribute.
Can you tell us about the new patient tower and its progress?
So the patient tower is on schedule and will finish construction at the end of this month. And then we are looking to take, to move into the new ICUs in mid to late January. And the timing could not be better, because as we are receiving more and more patients here for medical care, COVID and certainly non-COVID related, this additional bed capacity will really be a tremendous benefit to the community and the entire region. So by opening the two floors of the tower, we will add an additional 64 ICU beds to our complement, which is really, really remarkable. The tower is beautiful. I've had the opportunity to tour the tower several times throughout the construction, and I'm really excited to showcase it to the community to open state-of-the-art ICUs.
David, in February, it will be 10 years since the affiliation with UPMC. What has that meant for the Erie community and your patients?
Well, you are correct. How time flies. And 10 years, it does not seem possible. But when we set out on this journey, we were looking at a $300 million commitment in our affiliation with UPMC. And when we complete the patient tower, UPMC has committed over $400 million to the development and advancement of UPMC Hammond. And we'll continue to invest in Erie as we watch the growth and expansion. And I think that's an important piece to share. We've delivered on the promise. We've added $30 million to our patient tower, the South Tower, which is the main building that the community sees in the in front of Hammett as they pull into the parking lot. We've added 11 ADA rooms We've renovated all of our ORs. We opened a new lobby, a $5 million project. We've recruited over 100 physicians and over 80 new allied health providers, from nurse practitioners, physicians assistants, et cetera. We've added numerous specialists, and we've also affiliated with two other hospitals. WCA Hospital in Jamestown is now UPMC Chautauqua, and Kane Community Hospital, through our affiliation with Kane, is now UPMC Kane. So that's been pretty exciting. And, you know, we've added a whole list of services, and I just want to highlight a few of those services. We've added the McGee Women's Specialty Center, kidney transplant services, deep brain stimulation, Safe Harbor, our outpatient behavioral health program, joined UPMC Hammett and is now part of UPMC Western Behavioral Health. We started a new residency program, an ENT residency program, as well as a pulmonology fellowship program. We introduced cardiac MRI to this region. We also were the first to introduce the Watchman device to help patients who suffer from atrial fib and preventing them from having strokes. We were the nation's first user of robotic bronchoscopy, which is really remarkable. We are the region's only comprehensive stroke center, and that accreditation was received within the 10 years, as well as affiliating with the UPMC Hillman Cancer Center and McGee Women's Research Institute, which is a great platform to use scientific knowledge and research as we advance care. And I also think that it's important to share with the community our promise to them. And we have a number of programs that are really powerful, and our Eagle's Nest program, our Project Search programs have really enhanced our diversity as well as has strengthened our workforce. And we've worked with our community partners to reduce the blight in Erie. And we've, you know, many sponsorships throughout the community. And obviously, during the last several months, we've worked very closely with the county health department and many, many organizations and community leaders throughout this wonderful town of Erie to really focus on educating the community, particularly hit hard with COVID, educating them in multiple languages. We've canvassed door to door a number of times, as well as leaving masks and educational materials. So I am really very proud of those initiatives and those accomplishments. And we have many more to come into the future.
David, what has the affiliation meant in when it comes to the pandemic and sharing information and resources, et cetera?
That's an excellent question. I think it's important to share with the listeners that we meet on a regular basis. At the beginning of the pandemic, we had calls that were three times a day, that were system-led phone calls with tactical planning and implementation for numerous initiatives surrounding the pandemic. And it's the strength of UPMC. We have 40 hospitals, an academic medical system with 40 hospitals where we share equipment. We share resources. We can move staff across the system to help this journey of the pandemic. We see areas that have been hit hard, where the prevalence is high for COVID, and we have other hospitals and other communities where the outbreaks have not been as significant. So that gives us the flexibility to really leverage the strength of the system, and it truly is one of the takeaways that it's not only me, but certainly my staff see clearly. And they appreciate the updates and the communication as well. And they also appreciate how we can leverage the strength of a 40-hospital health system.
David, the McGee Women's Hospital is celebrating its 10th anniversary in January. What are some of the successes at McGee you've seen in the past 10 years?
Well, obviously, the opening of the hospital itself has really been pretty remarkable, to have a hospital that's truly dedicated to women's health and women's services. We've added numerous specialists that have joined the team to make a stronger complement of in a comprehensive delivery model for women's care. Urogynecology, GYN oncology, maternal fetal medicine, reproductive endocrinology. It's also important to share that we've added the children's specialty office, which we have offers access to 18 pediatric specialists, including endocrinology, gastroenterology, neurology, pulmonology, and many others that specialize in pediatric medicine in those specialties. That's really been pretty impressive, as well as we opened the Women's Recovery Center for women with substance abuse and disorder, and really have decreased the number of infants who need the services of our neonatal intensive care unit, which is pretty remarkable. We canvassed the area, the city of Erie and surrounding region, to provide a safer level of care and really engage women into services to help them. So those really highlight the advancements of the women's center that we've created.
David, would you mind sharing some of the greatest accomplishments of 2020?
Sure. So obviously I think I would be remiss if I didn't say the pandemic, of course. We, you know, as I've shared, just a remarkable job, and our heroes, our Hammett heroes, are the result of our great management of the pandemic. And we established a comprehensive lung center. And as I review a list with you, I think it's important. While we were managing a pandemic, there are many great accomplishments that occurred this year, and that speaks to the strength of this team. So we opened a comprehensive lung center on West 12th Street. The emergency department, the nurses, received the Lantern Award, and which is really our second time to receive this award. We were reaccredited. It's a prestigious award that recognizes emergency department's commitment to quality and safety. The Hammett Health Foundation received an unprecedented number of grants, over $2.5 million in grants for opioid response programs to serve women and families in rural Erie County and Venango County, where the effects of opioid epidemic have really been the target of service providers, services in years. We're bringing more dollars in to enhance that and really provide a better level of care. So received accreditation for our endoscopy suite. And again, very similar to the Lantern Award, this is a center of excellence that is bestowed upon us for achieving the highest standards of excellence for quality and safety. Another bold move and accomplishment of this year is that we announced the opening of the UPMC School of Nursing at UPMC Hammett. We needed to be much more aggressive with recruiting nurses. And we have a nursing shortage across this nation. And what we did was create, and we are opening our School of Nursing to have a continuous source of staffing for our hospitals. We continue to grow. So that was a very strategic move. We've also created several, we refer to them as employee resource groups. This year, particularly with social injustice, has been very challenging for the Hammett family. We certainly have been quite moved and saddened by the events that have occurred. We held a moment of solidarity on our front lawn in May, and we established four employee resource groups to focus and continue our development of diversity and inclusion. And those would include groups such as LGBTQ. We have a group for people of color. We have a group for our veterans. And then we have a group for people with capabilities. So I'm very proud of the Hammett team for their accomplishments there. And while these groups have formed and their work is truly one that is committed to advancing social equality, we are far from over in this journey.
Can you comment on other advancements in the area of technology that happened in 2020 or on the agenda for 2021?
You know, we continue to advance the clinical advancement. Our cardiac MRI kicked off very early at the beginning of this year, and that's a great advancement to this region. We also, continue to expand our TAVR program. We achieved over 800 TAVRs, which is a more minimally invasive way to provide level of cardiac care to assist patients with their improvement. But 2021 is pretty exciting on the horizon for us, and that is we're going to expand our robotic bronchoscopy capabilities and looking at really treating the tumors themselves using the robotic bronchoscopy. So we'll have an announcement that will be forthcoming in 2021. As the new tower opens, we will introduce a new piece of technology, which is a 3 Tesla MRI unit. And for MRIs across the country, the strength of the MRI is the strength of the magnet. And typical MRIs across the nation are 1.5 Tesla magnets. This will be a 3 Tesla magnet, so it is very, very powerful, and it will enable our team to better visualize soft tissue and organs. And then we are pursuing our accreditation for our a comprehensive cardiac care center. So those are just a few highlights of things to come for 2021 that are really very exciting.
David, thanks again for your time today. It's always appreciated. Is there anything we have failed to cover or that you would like to mention as we close out 2020 at UPMC Hammond?
Sure. And I appreciate that question very much. So first and foremost, I want the community to know that UPMC Hammond is here. We are your tertiary provider. We are here for you, and I want you to know that. What I will say next is we need your help. All the listeners, we really need your help. Please know that COVID-19 is real, and the patients who are truly sick with COVID-19, these are very, very sick individuals. Fortunately, most do not require the care of the ICU and a critical care team, but those who do are very, very ill. What I need the community's help with is quite simple. Wearing your mask. Masking works. Wearing a mask is a mask that covers your nose, your entire nose, not below your nose, above your nose, your mouth, and seals appropriately. Practice physical distancing, staying 6 feet apart from each other, avoiding large crowds. Hand hygiene is very, very important. Washing your hands frequently. And if you do feel sick, please isolate yourself. Do not go outside. Do not go outside shopping, certainly, to work. Really isolate yourself. This is a very contagious virus, and it is critical that you do isolate yourself. The other ask is that if you do feel sick, again, isolate yourself. But if you feel that your symptoms are becoming worse, certainly call your doctor. Seek his or her advisement, and they will help you navigate this if testing is required, etc. If you are traveling, obviously there are requirements for testing with traveling. Please coordinate that. There are many centers, collection centers that are there. We can certainly, those are available to the community. What we don't want to see is that people are coming to the emergency department for travel screenings when they themselves have no symptoms whatsoever. We always say the emergency department is open for any patient, always, who feels that their care is at a level of requiring emergency department visit. But if it's not, we have urgent care centers that are available. They're safe environments, as well as physician offices and certainly our collection centers. But again, I cannot say enough and request, please wear your mask, wash your hands, practice physical distancing, and if you do feel sick, please isolate yourself to protect the ones you love in the community.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at 12:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 9 a.m. Join us again next week as Dr. Ford is in the Business Spotlight.